Good afternoon, I'm John Lacken, and you're very welcome once again to Radio Maria Ireland. You're listening to The Traditional Catholic Family. This show is brought to you on behalf of Legio Sancti Familiae, that is the Legion of the Holy Family. And I would like to begin, as always, with a prayer to Our Lady, asking her for guidance and protection for all married couples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Sce divaha aura, et alon de grosta, ton tirnalat, Hispania hu idir mana, agus Hispania taradavrina iesa. And nave wura hawahar dei, guiaring the paki anish agus erura mas. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Traditional Catholic Family is broadcast on a weekly basis on Friday afternoons from 4 o'clock to about 4:30. I have to go to Limerick this afternoon, so it might be just shortly after 4:30 anyway. And today is Friday the 1st of July. And today, for those who still follow the traditional church calendar of 1962, it is the Feast of the Most Precious Blood of Jesus Christ. Since I started attending the Latin Mass a number of years ago, I have often wondered at some of the feasts that were dropped in the new calendar, and at this one in particular. There is no longer a separate feast for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the new calendar, and I believe that we are the poorer for it. Now, this week I want to focus on Pope Pius XII's continuation of the crusade against immodesty, and also look a little bit at his address to the Latin Union of High Fashion. As usual, I am very happy to answer any questions that listeners may have and to take suggestions for particular topics concerning the Traditional Catholic Family that you might like to have covered in the future program. If you would like to text the show at any point, the number is 085-120-8779. That's 085-120-8779. You can also contact me by email, john@truedevotions.ie. And I have a website, www.truedevotions.ie. And past programs are now available to listen to on the True Devotions website. I put them up as soon as I get a chance just to edit them. So I'm about three behind, but working on it. Just select the Legio Sancti Familia link and you'll see past programs listed there. Click on a link to listen to any of these shows. I have also written extensively about traditional Catholic teaching on marriage and family life for the fortnightly newspaper, The Catholic Voice, and I now have 62 articles of those articles online on the website under the Marriage Articles link. And these articles are a treasure trove for anyone who wants to have a complete understanding of the Church teaching on marriage. I start from Genesis, I go through Scripture, I go through tradition, I go through the Magisterium. I also look at some of the devotions like the Sacred Heart, Devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows, St. Therese, etc. And you can read these articles online, you can download them or send them to friends. All I ask is that you let them know who wrote them and let them know where they come from, so that together we can spread the beautiful teachings, what the Catholic Church teaches about marriage and family life. Now, I noted in last week's program that speaking about modesty can be a difficult subject for women in particular to hear, especially when it may seem that a man is being critical of them and of how they dress. And this is because how we dress can be tied up with our vanity, and therefore any criticism is taken personally and usually causes offence. The story is told of Monsignor Angelo Roncalli, who became Pope St. John the 23rd, and that as the Monsignor, he used to work in the Vatican, and he was once seated at a banquet next to a woman who was immodestly dressed. Now, he was known for speaking out about this matter, and those who were there wondered how he'd react in this situation and how would he deal with this situation. So after dinner, Monsignor Roncalli offered the lady in question an apple, which she declined. And he insisted that she take the apple. And so the woman, out of curiosity, asked him why he wanted her to have the apple. And he replied with a twinkle in his eye that it was after Eve had eaten the fruit in the Garden of Eden that she realized she was naked. So once again, I would urge both women and men to try to look beyond the emotional and the personal in an effort to see what it is that our gracious Mother, the Catholic Church, is seeking to teach us through her catechism and through the writings of her popes, saints, and holy men and women about this most important virtue of modesty. Perhaps there are some listeners who wonder why I am spending so much time on this particular matter of modesty. And the reason is simple. Modesty is the guardian of the gateway to chastity and to purity. Without modesty, purity and chastity will be virtually impossible. And without purity and chastity, marriages will be defiled. When I was researching for today's program, I came across an article by a Father Thomas G. Morrow. I think he's a diocesan priest in the Washington Diocese in America. And the title was, "Revealing Dress Exposes Women to Objectifications." Father Morrow relates the Monsignor Roncalli story that I mentioned above, about him giving the apple to the immodestly dressed woman. And he also points out something that I have noticed myself. This is the fact that most Catholic groups are not willing to deal with the matter of immodesty. He mentions several groups and says that the concept of modesty seems lost on just about everyone, including some of these very same people. These are Catholics. He then makes a point that I made in an earlier program. If we promote chastity out of one side of our mouths, and by our silence give tacit approval to the immodesty in our midst, we are kidding ourselves. By saying nothing about the immodest dress among women, not to mention among men, we are perpetuating the image of women as objects of enjoyment. We are prolonging the denigration of women. Unquote. So, just let me see again, that was Father Thomas G. Morrow. And again, you could Google that. Revealing dress exposes women to objectifications. And the point he's making is that by dressing immodestly, women objectify themselves. They become objects to be looked at. So, why are so many Catholics silent on this most important of topics, or dealing with it in a way that does not seem to teach the full truth? Again, I mentioned that how we dress is a very personal matter, which, if not understood correctly, becomes closely connected with our vanity, and we are liable to take offence and to react in a personal manner to someone who points out any errors in how we are dressing. Nobody likes to be on the receiving end of a bad reaction to personal correction, and most people naturally would like to avoid provoking such a reaction, and so they remain silent. Another priest I came across who gave a sermon on this topic, a Father Hathaway, began his sermon by saying, and I quote, "But let me preface that I did not wake up this morning thinking, I wonder how I can ruin their day. I do not want to make you mad, but only advance your salvation. Our dress can be a touchy topic, but all of us should want to correct errors should they exist." Unquote. Father Hathaway seems to have some experience of how people react when their immodesty in dress is brought to their attention. And he says he doesn't want to ruin somebody's day. So people are very, very touchy about this. People get mad. But if we care for the salvation of souls, then we must speak about this subject. And we must also be very careful, because we have to heed God's warning in the scriptures. I'm referring to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. Quote, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. Unquote. That's Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. And that quote should give us reason to pause. When the wicked person needs to be warned and we do not speak out, God will hold us accountable for their blood. We should also recall the spiritual works of mercy, which include to admonish the sinner and to instruct the ignorant. So we have a duty to admonish the sinner and to instruct those who don't seem to be aware of what the church teaches with regard to modesty. Of course, this should be done with charity and with the desire to help the other to see what the church demands of them. But to remain silent in the face of the obvious occasions of sin caused by immodest dress is not Catholic. And especially when we have seen that three popes in succession, Pope Benedict XV, Pope Pius XI, and Pope Pius XII, gave very stern warnings against immodesty, even going so far as to debar from Holy Communion those who were dressed immodestly. Immodesty is a very serious matter, which is gravely offensive to God, and which causes untold damage to marriage and to family life. We have already seen what Pope Benedict XV had to say about modesty, and we saw that his successor, Pope Pius XI, launched a crusade against immodesty. Pope Pius XII was the next pope, and he continued on with the crusade against immodesty. He addressed the matter specifically on a number of occasions. In his beautiful encyclical on sacred virginity, Sacra Virginitas, Pope Pius XII speaks about the dangers of the passions. Quote, "Hence, we must watch particularly over the movements of our passions and of our senses, and so control them by voluntary discipline in our lives and by bodily mortification, that we render them obedient to right reason and God's law." Unquote. He then quotes Christ's teaching that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And he instructs us to be vigilant and to flee the temptations of the passions. He notes that there are those who teach falsely that in order to build up resistance to these temptations, one should be exposed to them. And he describes such teaching as wrong and harmful. And he then speaks of the need to keep those who live the religious vocation separate from the tumult of the world during their years of formation, before he directly speaks on the subject of modesty. So again, very interesting, this thought that during the years of formation of religious priests and religious women and men, they need to be kept separate from the tumult of the world. They need to be withdrawn, to come aside. Pope Pius XII then continues, and I quote, "The educators of the young clergy would render a more valuable and useful service if they would inculcate in youthful minds the precepts of Christian modesty, which is so important for the preservation of perfect chastity, and which is truly called the prudence of chastity. For modesty foresees threatening danger, forbids us to expose ourselves to risks, demands the avoidance of those occasions which the imprudent do not shun. It does not like impure or loose talk. It shrinks from the slightest immodesty. It carefully avoids suspect familiarity with persons of the other sex, since it brings the soul to show due reverence to the body as being a member of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit. He who possesses the treasure of Christian modesty abominates every sin of impurity and instantly flees whenever he is tempted by its seductions. Unquote. Again, we hear that modesty is the protector of chastity. Those who wish to remain chaste, whether married, single, whatever their state of life, must practice the virtue of modesty. This teaching is not just for young clergy, as we are all called to perfect chastity within our state of life. Pope Pius XII next speaks to parents, warning them that there are some teachers who seek to initiate innocent boys and girls into the secrets of human generation. And again, this language is powerful, the secrets of human generation. Human generation, it's a private matter between married men and women. It's not something to be discussed in general. Pope Pius XI, in his encyclical Divinus Ilius Magistri, speaking to fathers educating their sons, says that we must be careful not to descend to detail. Otherwise, there is a danger that we will ignite the very flame that we are trying to control. So, what does Pope Pius XII say to parents? Modesty will moreover suggest and provide suitable words for parents and educators by which the youthful conscience will be formed in matters of chastity. Wherefore, as we said in a recent address, this modesty is not to be so understood as to be equivalent to a perpetual silence on this subject, nor as allowing no place for sober and cautious discussion about these matters in imparting moral instruction. In modern times, however, there are some teachers and educators who too frequently think it their duty to initiate innocent boys and girls into the secrets of human generation in such a way as to offend their sense of shame. But in this matter, just temperance and moderation must be used, as Christian modesty demands. Unquote. Who today is unaware of the false and pernicious sex education that is being promoted in most of our schools, including Catholic schools? I remember several years ago I was involved in a campaign to try and prevent this explicit sex education coming into the Catholic schools. It's one of the reasons why myself and my wife decided in the end, after realizing we couldn't win this battle, that we would take our children out of the schools and that we would homeschool them. A very difficult decision, but that was in order to protect their chastity, their purity, and to teach them modesty. Sadly, this corruption of our children, even in the Catholic schools, goes largely unopposed. Most people are not aware of the problems of sex education. They're not paying attention. They have fallen asleep. And those of us who do raise objections to sex education in our schools, we're portrayed as being old-fashioned or prudes. And this is despite the rampant abuse of sexuality in our modern world. For abortion, contraception, divorce, premarital sexual activity amongst many of our young people, and extramarital sexual activity are commonplace. Pope Pius XII then speaks of humility and of having an abhorrence for sin. This modesty is nourished by the fear of God, that filial fear which is founded on the virtue of profound Christian humility, which creates in us utter abhorrence for the slightest sin. As our predecessor, St. Clement I, stated in these words, "He who is chaste in flesh should not be proud, for he should know that he owes the gift of continence to another." How important Christian humility is for the protection of virginity, no one perhaps has taught more clearly than St. Augustine. Because perpetual continence and virginity above all is a great good in the saints of God, extreme vigilance must be exercised lest it be corrupted by pride. The more clearly I see the greatness of this gift, the more truly do I fear lest it be plundered by thieving pride. No one therefore protects virginity but God himself who bestowed it, and God is charity. The guardian, therefore, of virginity is charity. The habitat of this guardian is humility. Unquote. I spoke of vanity earlier on, and it is good to remember that vanity is also a form of pride, which exalts how the body looks in order to seek the attention of others. Vanity is usually opposed to modesty, and it blinds those who are vain to their own immodesty. Pope Pius XII then goes on and he speaks of the other helps needed to maintain chastity. So modesty on its own, there's a whole, if you like, a way of life. So just quoting again Pope Pius XII from Sacra Virginitas. Moreover, there is another argument worthy of attentive consideration. To preserve chastity unstained, neither vigilance nor modesty suffice. Those helps must also be used which entirely surpass the powers of nature, namely prayer to God, the sacraments of penance and Holy Eucharist, a fervent devotion to the Most Holy Mother of God. Unquote. So again, we've spoken in an earlier program about the natural and supernatural ends, and that the supernatural order is far above the natural order. So modesty, if you like, is of the natural order, how we dress and all that, but then there are supernatural helps, the prayer, the sacraments of penance, and Holy Eucharist. Frequent confession is a great aid in our combat, in our battle against temptation. And again, of course, fervent devotion to the Most Holy Mother of God, Our Lady. In November of 1957, Pope Pius XII gave an address to a group known as the Latin Union of High Fashion. These were fashion designers. I think it was, may have been Italian fashion designers, or it may have been an organization of world fashion designers. I'm not sure of the exact makeup of the group. They were just called the Latin Union of High Fashion. Now, the very fact that the Pope agreed to address this group shows us that modesty and fashion are not mutually exclusive ideas in the Catholic thought. There is a portrayal of modesty as being frumpy and old maidish. And again, this is another lie of the devil, which is used to steer people, particularly women, away from modest dress. Let us not allow ourselves to be fooled by these deceitful tactics of the enemy. Remember Satan's answer to Eve in the Garden of Eden that we covered in one of the earlier programs. You know, God said we will die, and Satan says, you will not die. Modesty, oh, that's only for frumpish, old-maidish, old-fashioned people. You know, again, don't be fooled by these deceitful tactics of the enemy. So, in addressing the Latin Union of High Fashion and looking at fashion design, Pope Pius XII outlined the problem as follows. You propose to examine, from the Christian point of view, and with Christian intent, a problem which is as delicate as it is complex. Its moral aspects cannot be ignored. It is a constant object of attention and anxiety for those whose task it is, by reason of their duties in the family, in society, and in the church, to preserve souls from the snares of corruption and to protect the whole community from moral decadence. The problem of fashions, especially women's fashions. So the Pope is talking about, you know, that fashion, we've got to be careful, because if we want to preserve souls from the snares of corruption and to protect the whole community from moral decadence, like, who nowadays thinks that immoral fashions can lead to moral decadence within the whole community? So again, part of this, several recent popes have mentioned, we've lost our sense of sin. And Pope Pius XII recognizes the danger within the world of women's fashions that could ensnare and corrupt souls and lead them to moral decadence. And he then gives three reasons for clothing: hygiene, decency, and adornment. And he deals with each of these three reasons in turn. Hygiene is a simple matter of making sure that our clothing does not present a danger to our health. The Pope also alerts us to the fact that this cannot be used as an excuse for deplorable license, that is, for immodesty. We can't dress immodestly on the pretext that, for example, in a very hot climate, if I dress modestly, I'll be too hot, I'll sweat to death or whatever. You know, we cannot make excuses for this deplorable license of immodesty. And he then moves on to deal with decency. And there are some interesting points to consider here. Natural decency, in its strictly moral sense, whatever its origin may be, is founded on the innate and more or less conscious tendency of every person to defend his personal physical good from the indiscriminate desires of others, so that he may reserve it, with prudent choice of circumstances, to those wise purposes of the Creator, which he himself has placed under the protective cover of chastity and modesty. And again, chastity and modesty are a protection given to us by God. They are a defense against the indiscriminate desires of others, particularly in the area of sexuality. In our fallen world, which today is rife with unprecedented levels of pornography and licentiousness in the area of human sexuality, it is very important for women to understand both the reason for and the need for modesty in clothing. Modesty protects women from the lustful glances of fallen men. When modesty is properly understood, it protects a woman's chastity because she is not dressing in an overtly sexual way, which would advertise her as an object of purely sexual attraction. If she is immodestly dressed, then men will admire her for her body and not for her personality. Men are naturally physically attracted to women and vice versa. But this physical attraction is primarily for the purpose of marriage, which in turn is ordered to the procreation of children. If we separate sexuality from the good of children, whom God desires to be born within holy wedlock, then the body becomes a plaything, an object of pleasure and desire, and our clothing will reflect this degradation by becoming immodest. An immodest woman becomes an advertisement for sex, which is divorced from the moral order. She denigrates her own femininity, she denigrates motherhood, which is the purpose of female sexuality, she denigrates marriage, which is the only place wherein human sexual activity is morally permitted, and she damages the society in which she lives by her denigration of these other goods. And again, it is very important that we understand this, because immodesty does such damage. If we could only see and realize it, we will be, again, as I pointed out in the past, one of the popes said that men and women would be shocked, whereas we've lost our sense of shock because we no longer recognize sin. So again, an immodest woman denigrates her own femininity. She denigrates femininity in general. She denigrates motherhood, which is the purpose of female sexuality. She denigrates marriage, which is the only place wherein human sexual activity is morally permitted. And she damages the society in which she lives by her denigration of these other goods. And all this attributable to immodesty. Next week, I'm going to continue to look at Pope Pius XII's address to the Latin Union of High Fashion. He gives us a great and deep understanding and insight into the importance of modest clothing for the preservation of chastity and purity. And he also shows us that, you know, fashion in itself is not a bad thing, once fashion is kept under the direction of modesty and chastity. And again, before I go, can I once again please ask you to pray for, or to continue praying for, several Catholic families and all who are experiencing difficulties in their marriages. I'd also like you to pray another couple that I heard of. Unfortunately, they weren't married, but there was a suicide. The man committed suicide recently. So again, these are all signs of the times, the damage that's happening because people no longer understand what marriage is. Society, there's a tendency that society will fall apart. But again, in looking at this, it's important we don't lose hope. God is God. Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. There is hope for us. We have Our Lady who has made the journey, the sorrowful journey through this life, and she is willing to accompany us, to take our hand and to help us. If you'd like to contact me regarding anything you've heard on the show or regarding any topic you would like to see covered, you can contact me in any of the following ways: by text or by phone, 085-120-8779. You can email me, john@truedevotions.ie. You can also contact me through a form on the website, www.truedevotions.ie. And finally, I would like to again mention that the two Benedictine fathers, Father Pius Mary Noonan and Father John de Brito of the Abbey St. Joseph de Clerval in France, will be conducting the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola at Ords Friary in Donegal this month. It's about 2 weeks' time, or almost 3 weeks' time. And this is a 5-day silent retreat for men from Sunday the 15th to Friday the 22nd of July this year. I cannot recommend the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius to you highly enough, and they have been promoted and praised by several of our popes. They are a life-changing experience. The monks will also conduct a day and a half silent retreat for women, beginning at 3 o'clock on Friday the 15th of July and ending on Saturday the 16th of July at 6 p.m. And again, this is in Ords Friary. So if you'd like any more details on either of these retreats, or if you'd like to book a place, then please email me, john@truedevotions.ie. Well, that's all for today. I'm John Lacken, and may God bless you.